I wonder if you've ever been to a show or to see a speaker, perhaps a comedian, something like that, that you've been anticipating for some time. Someone you've followed, someone you've heard about, and you're really excited about what they might do, what they might say when you go to see them. And after the show, you've walked away thoroughly disappointed, thinking to yourself, what a waste of time. And actually, what a complete waste of my money. And that certainly wasn't worth all the hype. And it kind of had me wondering when I read the gospel for this week. I wonder if the crowds were disappointed. I wonder if perhaps even some of the disciples were disappointed. Jesus, withered hands had been healed, the mute were speaking, lepers had been cleansed, storms calmed, the blind casting away their white sticks, life restored for some. And here comes Jesus with some stories, some perplexing stories. One more parable about seeds and plants, followed by stories of baking bread, ploughing a field and fishing. Okay, Jesus throws in one story about a wealthy merchant and some pearls, but the rest are as ordinary as a mustard bush, aren't they? No kings or princes, no glory, nothing populates these parables of the kingdom to generate some excitement. No military, generals, or revolutionary leaders to please Simon the Zealot or his colleague Judas. I can't help but wonder if they felt just a little let down. And I wonder if some of us gathered here this morning are a bit disappointed too. I doubt very much your visions of the heaven of the kingdom of God include mustard bushes and housework. Isn't God seen more often as Lord or King than farmer, merchant, or baker woman? Haven't we just sung, Lord, I lift your name on high? So a lot of our contemporary worship songs have us raising Jesus up and enthroning him. These parables that Jesus tells are not clear teachings, but rather stories through which we must encounter revelation. And revelation is, by definition, hidden and can take a lifetime to grasp. In all the talk of the kingdom, Jesus gives no description of the world transformed, nor is there a picture of some celestial state. Instead, we're left with images, riddles, and puzzles that tease our minds to wrap themselves around a new, expanded, undefined parameter of God at work in the world around us. The stories Jesus tells of his kingdom and of heaven are down to earth. Quite literally, down to earth. They are common stories about ordinary people. A tenant farmer, a housewife, fishermen, people doing everyday things. And perhaps we might feel a little cheated that, hey, that's hardly an exalted version of God's realm. Maybe that's the point. Maybe that is the point. As Christians, we're called to believe in the incarnation, the mystery of the meeting of the divine and human in the person of Jesus Christ. And in his parables, Jesus puts that incarnational focus not on himself, but on the world around him. The kingdom of God is like, says Jesus. Well, it's like most common things in human life. Like Jesus himself, this everyday world embodies the sacred meeting of divine and human. If only we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. In that embodiment, his parables differ significantly from Greek or Roman myths or Aesop's fables, perhaps. Jesus' stories have no gods in human disguise or talking animals, just real life women and men going about their everyday work. And according to Matthew, the first thing Jesus does when he comes out of the wilderness is to proclaim, "The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven has come near." And doesn't he demonstrate that? Doesn't he demonstrate that nearness every time he heals someone? Every time he reaches out to the outcast? Every time he respects women, which culture in his time did not do? Every time he cared for the poor? And he also demonstrates that nearness through these stories, through these kingdom parables. For Jesus, God's realm is not some esoteric kingdom in the sweet by and by, but as close as the next mustard bush or loaf of bread. That nearness, far more than the threat of eternal agony, is the basis for Jesus' call to belief. And notice, of those five parables, only one includes judgment and the gnashing of teeth at the end of it. The rest envision God in every nook and cranny of daily life, from kneading dough to ploughing fields. Jesus transforms human life not by scaring the literal hell out of us, but by helping us to see the kingdom. To see and know the kingdom of God close at hand. And offering these images of God's realm, Jesus echoes Moses' farewell address to his people. At the edge of the promised land, we read in Deuteronomy, Moses reminds the Israelites that the world is very near them, in their hearts and close at hand. And in his earthly kingdom parables, Jesus reaffirms that truth. Moreover, Jesus doesn't use the seven wonders of the world to envision God's kingdom. He doesn't even use a stately cedar of Lebanon, which, by the way, is something to behold, but a lowly mustard plant. Its seed is a symbol of the tiniest thing. And the plant it produces, well, to be honest, is nothing more than a trash tree. Well, more accurately, a bush, no matter how big it gets, and they can get big enough to dwarf houses, by the way. Mustards are the Japanese knotweed of their day, for those gardeners amongst you. Yeah, some laughs, you know. So how is this an image for God's realm? How is that an image for God's realm? Then there is the leaven for the 100 loaves of bread, in a tradition where yeast is a symbol of corruption and impurity. And yet in Jesus' parable, yeast becomes the agent of miraculous growth of God's kingdom. So if God can use mustard seed and corrupt leaven to grow the kingdom, imagine what God could do with us. Imagine what God could do with us. Abundance from the smallest of things. Miraculous transformations from trash tree to tree of life. From corrupt leaven to bread enough to feed the multitudes. God's kingdom is like that, says Jesus. So is there any wonder that the next two parables tell of people who gladly give everything up for that treasure that is being revealed? The extravagant response of the tenant farmer and the pearl merchant, matched only by the extravagant mustard bush and loaves of bread of the preceding stories. Of course, the paradox is that a kingdom worth the price of that great pearl or the hidden treasure is not made of silver or gold, but of bushes and bread. And I wonder, would you give up everything you have, everything you own, for a crop of Japanese knotweed? I can see some shaking of heads. No simple moral fables. Jesus's parables demand decision. Decision making. Determination. Like Moses' last words, the parables underscore our responsibility to choose God's way. Moses frames it as a choice between life or death, blessing or curse. Jesus' parables posit the realm of God versus that of the evil one, good fish or bad fish. But like Moses, Jesus doesn't let us off the hook. The nearness of God's realm challenges us daily to choose that realm. But ironically, I wonder if we are so rooted in this world of distraction, this world of entitlement, this world of stuff, I wonder whether we will be kept from experiencing the realm and the kingdom breaking through that Jesus talks about. I wonder. For most of us, mustard is found in plastic or glass bottles on the supermarket shelf. Bread comes in plastic bags, and pearls go for discount prices on eBay or Facebook Marketplace. But these first century parables offer otherworldly vision of God's kingdom. They offer otherworldly vision of God's realm. So the question, I guess, is what must we do? What must we do? Well, we must find new parables. We must find new parables. And so we must look for what in our world produces the abundance of a mustard seed. In our time, what is like leaven? Disdained as corrupt, but actually an agent of God's transforming power. Like the man ploughing a field or the merchant searching for the pearl, what would you give up? What would you give up to possess the kingdom rather than stuff? And like Jesus, we must tell new stories to speak timeless truths. We must give witness to Jesus in the ordinariness of our world and offer kingdom transformation in the stories we share of where we see God at work in our world. We must look at the world around us through the eyes of Jesus. We must see people as Jesus sees them, precious, treasured, cherished, the jewel of the Holy Spirit dwelling in each and every one of God's children. We must open our eyes and see, and our ears and hear. We must see the world given for us in all its glory and beauty, which reflects the glory of God. I heard a story recently when I was round doing a pastoral visit. An elderly lady who was talking to her father one day when she was a child. She didn't know whether he was a Christian or not. And they were sat on the side of a hill. And she said to him, "Dad, do you believe in God?" And he simply opened his arms like that to the valley and the beauty that was in front of them. We must open our eyes. We must open our eyes and ears to Jesus' vision of heaven close at hand. Because the seeds of heaven are here, here in the midst of our earthly lives. God is here, and glimpses of heaven surround us. If only we would open our eyes and our hearts to receive that gift. And then be bearers of that gift which has no limits to those around us who have not even seen the gift. They don't even know the gift exists. We must bear it for them. Have you understood all these things? Asks Jesus. Well, perhaps not. And perhaps we have to sit with these stories to realise that the kingdom of heaven cannot be taught or cannot be analysed. It has no permanent structure or boundaries. It is a sphere in which we enter both the earthly and the celestial, and it has no limits. But as Jesus sent out the 72 to heal the sick, to bring peace into people's lives, he also commissioned them to proclaim the kingdom. The kingdom of God has come near to you. That is our story. The kingdom of God has come near to you is our truth, a truth we must carry into our world. It may be perplexing, but it is a truth we must proclaim and we must share, that others will glimpse heaven also. Amen.